Because while I intended that the lesson on worship be two lessons, I know that there are very important things to be shared with you to help you understand better the subject of worship, that I will not be able to get to all of that today. But we look at this second lesson titled, True Worship is God Regulated. Put another way, for worship to be acceptable to God, for worship to be genuine and true worship in God's sight, it must be in keeping with God's regulation for worshiping Him. Should I turn that around again? It was never left up to man, any man, to worship God as man pleases. Follow me now, follow me now. It is for this reason when we read in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. But before you go there, look with me in the passage of Hebrews chapter 11. And is it verse 6? Let us hear that passage.
But without faith.
Without faith.
It is impossible to please him.
Mm-hmm. What verse are you reading?
Verse 6.
Verse 6. Find for me, by faith, Abel.
By faith.
Verse 4.
Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
You can almost, with safety, drop the word worship where you see the word sacrifice. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because under the Old Testament, to sacrifice was to worship. That is, when one sacrificed to God, you were worshiping God. So, the passage in Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 4, just read by the brother, said that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. Can that be put another way? Of course. By faith Abel offered a better worship than his brother Cain. Is that understood? Well, who was the judge in those two worship? God. That estimation was not dependent on their father, Adam. It was dependent on God. So this is where we are when I said that true worship must be regulated by God. Or put the other way as I spin it around, for worship to be true, we must follow God's regulation. And the passage which has just been read is in effect telling us that Cain did not follow God's regulation. And therefore God did not accept his worship. Can you believe that two brothers, are we there, worshiping the same God, got the same instruction, put it in our words. They were using the same Bible. They were worshiping at the same place. Yet God accepted one worship and rejected the other. And I remember somewhere the Bible tells me in the book of Romans, chapter 13, and is it verse 4 or 5, that whatsoever things, that whatsoever things were written aforetime, which means whatsoever things were written before, referring to the Old Testament system, what happened there? They were written for our learning. Well, Mr. Mitchell, what does that have to do with me? That passage in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 is telling us that while the Old Testament was not written primarily for us, but what God placed in the Old Testament was placed there to help give us some guidance. Are we there? So what are we looking at today? True worship is God's regulated. In the first lesson, we were looking, as I said, we were looking, because that's where we stopped last week. We were looking on the biblical revealed truth that every biblical period, every biblical age, and somebody said, what do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? When we speak of biblical period, biblical age, we are speaking of the patriarchal age. And that word means father. And that is the age when God usually deals with the head of the house, the father. So in theological, biblical circle, that is termed the patriarchal age. Then we have the Mosaical age. That is the time when the Almighty God used Moses to give direction to the children of Israel. So that is referred to as the Mosaical age or dispensation. Then we have the Christian age. Wait. That's the age in which you and I live. The age of Jesus Christ. When the Almighty God is speaking to and guiding men through the gospel of Christ. My point was on the fact that in every biblical age, the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age, the Christian age, engaging in worship to God, that is doing so regularly, doing so willingly, doing so gladly, and doing so meaningly and fully in every age. When men and women set out to worship God, worship has always been distinguished by or have the distinguishing mark of being sincere, being focused on God, and doing it gladly. Let us turn to the passage of Psalms 121, verse 1. Psalms 122, verse 1. Psalms 122, verse 1.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand.
Stop there, brother. You sure you have that first three words correctly?
Let us go.
The first three words in verse 1.
I was glad.
You sure that is right?
Yes.
I was glad for what?
When they said unto me,
uh-huh.
Let us go into the house of the Lord.
You're sure it's not the club? Because people are excited going to the dance hall. But people, it's like they drag their feet to come to worship. But here is a man telling us that he was glad. Should I learn from this that this is telling me the attitude that I and others should have when we think of worship? Yes! When we look at the lesson last week, just because it's important, in trying to help us understand the importance of worship in God's eyes, we look at the first two people that were born in this world. I didn't say the two first people that were created. That's Adam and Eve. The two first human beings that were born in this world, they are Cain and Abel. You know what we noticed last week, those who were here, if you remember? That when God, through his inspired word, introduced these two men to us, it was their worship that God used. Are we all there? It's recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 4. And verse 1 through verse 5, 6 or 7. And Adam knew.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
That's why Cain was the first person born on this earth. Read on.
And she again bare his brother Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the
ground.
So
here, these are the two first people that were born. And what we noticed last week, and it is in your Bible, it is that it was worship, their worship, that the Almighty God used to introduce them to us. Then we look at another very important example. That was the only person, man, woman, or whatever, to be honored in being called a friend of God. When the Almighty God was testing this man's faith, this man's commitment, the Almighty God again used worship. Are we there? Worship, and that was Adam, not Adam, Abraham. That is recorded in the book of Genesis 22. Worship, God used to test Abraham's faith and commitment. I had then in mind to use one or two or three more examples, but time ran out on us. So let me pick up now. After the flood, are you following? We are examining the many pivotal, important, significant areas in which the Almighty God chose to use worship to bring across to us important truth and to bring across to us the importance of worship in the sight of God. So in addition, to Cain and Abel, in addition to Abraham, after the flood, when the Almighty God used the flood water to wash the earth clean, in the post-diluvian were the very first thing Noah did. In fact, let us let the Bible tell us. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 18 through 20. This is the very first thing Noah did after the flood was subsided. Let us hear it.
And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him.
The Bible says went forth. Went forth from what, Brother Mitchell? That is from the ark. The flood, the water was subsided. There was dry land on which Noah and his wife and his wife, his sons and sons' wife could walk. So this is the first re-entry on dry land. After having been how many weeks and months in the ark, it must be important whatever was done. Let us hear it, brother.
Every beast, every creeping thing.
Wait. Pick up there for me, lose me.
And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast.
That's the first thing you notice he did. See if you find if he has done anything before that. Because what the brother is reading here is when he stepped from the ark. What else did he do? The brother said nothing. And he's right, nothing until he worshiped God. That was the very first thing the man did. That tells us something about God and worship. In fact, watch here. The passage says something.
And Noah built an altar unto the Lord.
That's right.
And took of every clean beast.
Uh-huh.
And of every clean fowl.
Uh-huh.
And offered burnt offerings on the altar.
Everybody get that? Wait there, brother. And I may ask you to pick me up right there. You do not come to worship to be entertained. You know, I'm just tempted to run to a passage in Isaiah. Believe me, Brother Bean. And sometimes, you know, something say go on, and something else say, because that passage in Isaiah 48 is telling us that when you come to worship, are we there? Don't come to do your own thing. In fact, you know, I'm going to yield to this temptation. Let us run to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, it is chapter, I think, is it 58? And I think it is verse 12 or 13. Let us hear it.
And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations.
That's not the passage. Isaiah, you're at 58 or 48?
58.
And I'm almost sure I need about verse 13.
If thou turn away thy...
Where are you reading from?
Isaiah 58.
58. And it is verse 13. Thank you for misleading your brother. That's the passage. Let us hear the passage. Now remember where we are coming from. That we do not come to worship to be entertained. Wait. You do not go to true worship to entertain others either. Are we all there? So let us hear the Almighty God speaking through Isaiah.
If thou turn away thy foot...
God, through the prophet Isaiah, is speaking to the children of Israel.
If thou turn away thy foot...
If thou turn away thy foot...
From the Sabbath.
From the Sabbath. Wait. Remember, God is speaking to Israel. I was about to tell you that is my great granddaughter. I make all the knives. You know? Yeah, they'll figure tell them not to bring her back here. Anyway, it's the first to come to hear her grandfather preach. You were in Isaiah chapter 58, and you're at a very important point here. Mm-hmm.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath.
Remember, God is speaking to Israel. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath.
From doing thy pleasure.
Remember, the Sabbath was for Israel. From doing
thy pleasure.
Your pleasure.
On my holy day.
That is, if the Israelite turn away from keeping the Sabbath to doing their own thing. Watch here now. Read.
And call the Sabbath a delight.
Mm-hmm.
The holy of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Honorable.
All that it is. And Israel should recognize that the Sabbath was all that to them and God. The Sabbath was never given to Christian. I need to drop those back. Read on.
And shall honor him,
uh-huh.
Not doing thine own ways.
Wait, brother. Not doing your own ways.
Nor finding thine own pleasure.
Not seeking your own pleasure.
Nor speaking thine own words.
Everybody hear that? Somebody didn't hear that. That in worshiping God, in true worship, that last part, those 3 points that God says, when you come, when you are really keeping my Sabbath, you Israelite, what you must not do?
Not doing thine own ways.
Don't do your own thing. Not if you are worshiping God properly. Uh-huh.
Nor finding thine own pleasure.
You don't come for your own pleasure. Wait. That is one way of saying worship is not entertainment for the worshiper. But it says something else.
Nor speaking thine own words.
Not even our own words. That's why the Bible says if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. The word oracle there in the passage of Hebrews, I think, it means God's declaration. That means when I come here telling you that I'm bringing you God's message, if I come here telling you what I like, what I want, what I think, how I feel, I would be committing sin in God's sight. Yes, when we yield to the temptation coming to this passage, we came from Noah coming from the ark. That was Genesis chapter 8. And pick up where you stop.
And Noah built an altar,
mm-hmm.
unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and took of every clean beast,
mm-hmm.
and of every clean fowl,
mm-hmm.
and offered burnt offerings, mm-hmm. on the altar.
Now, just, you know, this must have been a massive sacrifice. Because every clean beast, Noah felt that God was deserving of that sacrifice. That worship would have been the first, most appropriate thing to give to God. When he set foot back on the earth, he and his family. But watch God's response now.
And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake.
You see, the Almighty God responded to the man's worship, telling us it's not something that God has turned his back on. Have you ever thought that New Testament worship is much more meaningful to God? But we'll get a little more in that. Let me proceed. So that was Noah, eh? The Old Testament contains 39 books. Yeah. Watch here now. Of that 39 books of the Old Testament, one of those books, the book of Leviticus, is entirely about worship. From beginning to end, Leviticus is all about God instructing the Israelites how they should or should not worship him. That's how important worship is to the Almighty God. But not only that, worship has ever been the test. That is, true or false worship has always been the test to prove or to test one's commitment to the Almighty God. It has always been from the red of Cain and Abel's worship back to our time. Worship has always been used by God to prove and to test a person's commitment to God. Yes, God used other things. But the one thing that constantly, faithfully, we see God use always is worship. Look here. I had in mind to look at Daniel's situation. But there's so much practical thing to learn from Daniel and the jealousy that arise in the palace because Daniel was a favorite and that he had another spirit in him according to the Bible. But I may, very important practical thing we can learn. But, while I plan to share that now, I may look at that tonight at our 6 o'clock service. Just a point. I have just made the point about worship has always been the test. And that is, be true worship or false worship. And by that I mean, God use or watch, rather, how we eagerly become part of false worship. So God use false worship to see what direction we will take. So both true worship and false worship demonstrate to the Almighty God our commitment to Him and His Word. And because I'm on that point of true and false worship, let me just drop by here. May I? The Bible speaks of four kinds of worship. The Bible tells us of vain worship. That is, we can engage in worship, and in the sight of God, it is in vain. We find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, and verse 9. The Bible also speaks of another kind of worship, and that is ignorant worship. That is found in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and verse 23. What is ignorant worship? In the case in Acts, is where some Athenians, Greeks, with the multiplicity of God, they were worshiping various gods. They were idol worshippers. Almost every few people have their own gods. And Paul made the point that they have an inscription to the unknown God. Paul says, that's the one I want to talk to you about. The God that you do not know. But he made a point there about worship. He said, you worship God, that God ignorantly. May I? What that verse tells me is that for one to worship God in an acceptable way, one, you must know God. Brother Mitchell, can you word that differently? Yes. You cannot truly worship God acceptably if you do not know God. My God, how are you going to cook for me if you don't know what me like? Huh? Well, it's just like God. God has to tell man how to worship Him. You can't just guess it. They were worshiping God ignorantly. So you have to know one God. And you have to know what God wants in worship. That's ignorant worship. But there is yet another worship. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 22-23, the Bible speaks of will worship. Will worship. Read that passage for me quick. Quick.
Which are all
Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 through 23.
Which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men.
After what?
After the commandments and doctrines of men.
After what?
The commandments and doctrines of men.
Go on now, brother.
Which things have indeed a show of wisdom.
In other words, the things that these people, that Paul is talking about, the things they were doing, it from the surface, it looked wise. But he's going to describe them more adequately. They have a show, remember, just a show of wisdom. It appears, it looks like something is in it. Read on.
In will worship.
In will worship.
And humility. And neglecting of the body. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
Ladies and gentlemen, will worship is false worship. That's not, it's worship that based on the will of men. That's right. Will worship in that passage is worship that arises from man's will. That worship is false worship. So I've just described three worship. One, vain worship. Two, ignorant worship. Three, will worship. The Bible speaks of another kind of worship that is found in the book of St. John chapter 4 and verse 24. Read.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Everybody hear that? It's important that you hear that. Well, Brother Mitchell, all of us know that. Have you ever thought what that means? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him a particular way. Another thing I find striking is the Bible speaks of four kinds of worship, only one of which is true worship. The other three worship of which the scriptures speak, they are not acceptable worship in God's sight. One theologian describe it this way. He said there are lethargic worship, they are irreverent worship, there are worldly worship, and he said they are dynamic worship. He has four too. Lethargic, and lethargic worship is worship that wants interest in it. It's the worship where the people just galanso. That's one worship this theologian described. Then, irreverent worship. People engage in it and they just do their own thing. Then, worldly worship. And there are many churches today, when you go there, you're a little bit confused. You wonder if you're at the dance hall or if you're worshiping God. Worldly worship. We are going to stop here on these four worship. There are some important points. There is a passage in the Bible that gives Christian today a guideline. In fact, there are many passages on worship that I refer to as divine eye-opener. The worship of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. The worship of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. The worship in Isaiah chapter 58, the worship in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, the worship in John chapter 4, verse 24, which we have just read, the worship in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 through 25, all these are important passages on worship that open our eyes. I must get back to this lesson next week because much of our time will be spent on one of these passages in which the Almighty God is speaking to worshipers today through the pen of the Apostle Paul. You know, I feel there are some things here you are going to surprise to really notice them. Passage you have read over many times. But in that passage, not only is the Almighty God opening our eyes, the Almighty God in that passage is showing us how worship can be a dynamic thing for the children of God. That's right. We're encouraging you to come back and be with us as we look at the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the pen of the Apostle Paul. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. If you have doubt about your worship, we would like to speak to you. If you have doubt, or if you have been misled in thinking you can just worship God depending on how you feel, give us a chance to sit down and talk with you. But if you have learned enough from this lesson to see your need for Christ, you can come this morning. Within a minute or two, we will be standing to sing. You can step forward with the goal or objective of submitting your life to Jesus Christ through faith in Him, that is, believing in Christ, through repentance from sin, through confessing of Christ's name, and through getting baptized for the removal of your sin. You can step forward this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ as we stand and sing, Jesus Christ is calling you to become a part of His family. But worship, regular worship, sincere worship,